Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. They offer more than just electricity. Their community outreach team collaborates with schools, parents, and students to create engaging learning experiences. MTE, serving to make life better since 1936. Our interview on air, radio, audio streaming, but on video on Big GTV, presented by Turner Security and TechCore. Time to talk to Butch Vaughn this morning. Rutherford County School Board member representing Zone 6, but when you're on the school board, you're representing all of Rutherford County, aren't you, Butch?
Yes, you are. Yeah, it's a great thing. You know, we've got the best school board, the school system, I think, Brian, anywhere in the state of Tennessee. You know, when you look at the results that, you know, we've got level 5 schools that are, I think, 32 of them, I think, and, you know, that's a top level you can get, and it's just amazing the job that all the teachers and principals and everybody does, I think, and Dr. Jimmy Sullivan, you know, he has compiled such a great staff there at the central office that, you know, they've all worked together, and I think that's the reason for the success. And, you know, it's a challenge every day. And what at Monadnock, you know, is something that school safety, boy, I tell you, it's just something that, you know, that's so important. And we've got to continue to get better at that. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that I know that as a board, we all are wanting to do and trying to do. And Dr. Sullivan, you know, he is really a great leader. Mm-hmm. You know, he reminds me a lot of Harry Gill. You know, Harry's the best superintendent I ever worked for. And, but, you know, he's very approachable, you know, and he's a common sense guy. And, but he has great leadership skills, and it's shown, I think, in result. I think everybody supports him. Stan Vaught, now, you know, we've basically been going to all the schools trying to just meet the principals, and every one of them, you know, support everything Dr. Sullivan's doing. And that's a pretty unique thing when you have a school system as big as ours. You know, we have over 52,000 students, and we have close to 7,000 employees. And you know, that's a little city in a way.
Oh yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's just
a city that's spread out over an entire county area.
Right. And boy, I tell you, it's amazing how diverse this county is. But man, it's so enjoyable to go and visit schools and just see how well these schools are doing. You know, when you go in there and the kids are happy and laughing, you know, and that's a pretty good indication.
You know, school safety, I know, is it has to, when something like that happens, and when it happens in a neighboring county, it just has to make anyone who's an educator just stop and think. And with the number of schools and kids and as big as the system is, you know, every day you walk out that something doesn't happen, we have to be thankful. I mean, yeah. it's almost like it's only a matter of not if, but when, and, you know, and doing everything you can to prevent.
Right. And I'd have to say, you know, that, Sheriff Truman Jones started the SRO program, and Brian, I was a principal, had the first SRO, Bill West, and people don't understand how bad things used to be and how much the SRO program has helped. And the main thing about the SRO, it's not that we got a law enforcement officer at the schools, but the valuable part of that is they develop relationships with these kids, and kids want to be safe. And so if there is anything going on, they pretty well let the SROs know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that's really helped us. But, you know, you got to always, always, always be on alert, because I know I met this week with Representative Mike Sparks, and we've got an epidemic in our schools in mental health and teen suicide. And you know, what happened at Antioch, you know, the kid had a mental health problem. And we're trying to, Mike and I, and Mike's doing it at the state level, and we're trying to just support him and what he's doing, and trying to develop some type of programs to help recognize this and deal with it, you know, before things happen.
You know, speaking of that, he and I talked about it just a little bit yesterday, and, you know, see something, say something. I've heard that. It's happened, you know.
Correct.
For terrorist situations, just whatnot. But when you're a kid and you're in school and, you know, you say something, there may be repercussions of saying something if it's found out that you did. And so I think the method of being able to do that, I don't know what the answer is there. He was talking about some app in Oregon or something like that where you could submit anonymously tips and things. That may be an idea.
I'll tell you, you know, a lot of information we'd always get. You know, kids would let us know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's when kids let you know, it's a confidential thing. And I think the SROs do it in a way that nobody really knows where it came from.
And a lot of times, if you get more than one tip, too, you know, you really know. I mean, your confidence grows the more information you get.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing the police chief in Metro Nashville said, I heard him on the news. He said that if somebody had I'm not sure exactly what he said, but something like if somebody had said something, it probably wouldn't have happened. In other words, it indicated to me that some kids knew something and didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And the kid down there, you know, his desire was, he was planning on shooting 10 kids. And it's just hard to understand. But, you know, dealing with kids and, you know, the biggest problem a lot of them have is they just don't have any hope. And, you know, when you take hope away from anybody, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And, you can't tell them about Jesus Christ. You know, you wish you could, but you can't. But again, you know, kids have just got to understand there's always hope. You know, as long as you got breath in you, there's always hope.
You know, for someone to have that going on, there are a lot of people that want to place blame here and there, blame, you know, on guns and whatnot, and I'm not here to even talk about that, but we're avoiding the issue, and you hit on it. The issue is mental health.
Right. You know, guns don't shoot. Guns, I never killed anybody. It's people that shooting them. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, if there were no gun in this situation, there could have easily, if he intended harm, there are other ways, to be able to do that. You know?
People have the mind made up, they're going to do it. And, you know,
just like the guy in New Orleans with the car, using the car as the means to inflict harm.
And to be able to recognize this and head it off at the pass, I mean, gosh, it just, I know those people down there looking around and saying, hey, gosh, what? Where did we miss? What did we miss? And I'm sure the parents are the same way. What, you know, but when a kid goes in a room and stays on a computer all the time with the door shut, I mean, parents, if you're listening, you know, that you ought to really investigate if your kid's doing that, because on the internet and on the web out there, there's just so many things that are evil that they can get to that you really need to monitor where kids are going to.
But you have everyone carries around one in their hand.
Yes, sir.
All the time.
And you can get to anything yeah. you want to.
Yeah.
And the kids, that's their main means of communication now, is that social media and bullying on social media, you know. And, you know, you and I may have hard feelings. Well, I may not have guts enough to look you in the eye and say something, but I can get on that social media and I can try to bully you that away. And, you know, it's just, we've just uncorked an evil thing. It's satanic, in my opinion, you know, because it's just, it's meant for good, but it's, Satan is just using it for harm. And, you know, we just, we've got to take our schools back. We've got to take our kids back. Because, man, that's the future of our country, and that's the future of us. And, you know, we got a great opportunity right now. President Trump, boy, I say worldwide that all these leaders in these other countries are breathing fresh air because they're just so glad. And, you know, it's an opportunity, I think, for all of us to get behind and support what we need to do and do the right thing and what the country was based on. And, you know, the main thing about that is our kids. And, you know, we're just very blessed here. I mean, I'm telling you, the quality of teachers and administrators is just, it's just phenomenal. You know, why anybody would want to go anywhere else other than right here is beyond me.
Yeah. I mean, to be this large, I mean, the fourth largest county in the state of Tennessee now.
Right.
To be this large, to have a school system of 52,000 plus, over 7,000 employees, you look at similar systems in other places, their schools are, you know, level fives and top of the line. And, you know, we have the best, you know, elementary and middle and high school in the state of Tennessee.
Right.
So what is the difference? Is it the leadership? Is it the people who are involved? I know we've got great teachers.
I think it's all of it. Yeah. I think, you know, it's so like a football team. You know, there's times you can have a great coach and have great players, but they don't do very well. There's other times that, you know, the key to it is when you win, it's because the players have bought into what the head coach is teaching them, and they all work for the same goal. Then when that chemistry's there, it's unlimited what they can do. And I think you're seeing the results of that coming together in that chemistry. It's just because Dr. Southern, you know, he supports the teachers and all, and they know that he's there for them. But we're also lucky here, too, that we got Middle Tennessee State, and we're fortunate a lot of those kids that come there that want to be teachers or graduate, and they've moved here and lived here and want to stay here. And so we're fortunate. We had all, just about every one of our positions filled when the school started. And a lot of school systems around us really struggle to get good people. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I go in the schools all the time and visit, and it's just amazing to me the quality of people we do have. I mean, really, it's a hard job, but, boy, it's the most rewarding job you can ever have. I mean, when a kid comes up and thanks you 20, 30 years later, you helped me, that's what it's all about. That's worth more than money,
yeah.
You know. And every one of us can look back and think about somebody that made a difference in our life and that motivated us, you know, or disciplined us one way or the other, you know, did whatever. But yeah, we just, I'm just thankful we got what we got, and I just hope everybody recognizes that.
It comes with challenges, obviously. Mm-hmm. One of those, you all, the school board, we went through a rezoning just to, I mean, if you've got 20 seats here, I mean, this is how tight things are. You, yeah, you need to fill those 20 seats. If you've got 40 that don't have a seat or are in a portable, I mean, and I think the biggest, the explanation of the rezoning that made more sense to me is when Dr. Sullivan said, if we don't do this rezoning, why is the county commission going to approve the next high school? Because we're not efficiently using the school buildings that we have. It, right, it makes so much sense. It doesn't make it any easier to deal with.
Yeah. Rezoning, boy, it's a, that's a, that's a really,
I saw you get uneasy
thing
when, yeah, I said that word.
Well, you know, the hard thing about it is that there's no way to ever please everybody.
Right.
But you want to be fair and all, but we don't have any choice. You know, this school can only take so many, and this other school can only take so many. And we try to get equalized the socioeconomics in every school that we can. But there's so many limitations in rezoning that people don't understand. And we're really in a predicament. We want to build a new school, new high school down at Eagleville. And around Laverne in Smyrna, because, boy, they just exploded down there. And we're just struggling to find land. And, gosh, a new high school is going to cost $200 million. 5 years ago, I think you could build a high school for $50 million.
Yeah.
That just goes to show. That doesn't count the land. I mean, you know, the land is, gosh, it's just, it's really, it's almost out of sight, but boy, the land. But
you're talking about needing another school in areas despite adding on to Oakland and Riverdale and Smyrna and now Laverne.
Right.
You know, and so that says a lot about the growth, the explosive growth.
Right. And see, the way it is that the state doesn't really give you a whole lot of money for your growth. But see, that's where, I don't know, we've gotten so many people moving in here. And the thing about it is, so many of them are what we call ESL, English is a second language, that English is not the primary language. And, you know, we've had to hire so many new ESL teachers to deal with those type of kids because, I mean, you can imagine, Brian, that if a kid walks, if you're a teacher and a kid comes in your class, he can't speak a lick of English.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to teach him. That's a challenge. I mean, those people do a phenomenal job.
And it's not just like it's one language.
No.
There are like 30 languages being
spoken.
It used
to be just English and Spanish.
Uh-huh.
But now, golly, they got so many different different languages. I don't know how they keep up with all of it. But, you know, gosh, it takes like 4 years for a kid that comes in here with that can't speak English to be able to pick it up and be proficient in it. So, you know, that's a challenge, you know. But it's I think we let the secret out, and I think everybody's figured out. Emmersburg, Middle Tennessee, is a pretty good place, yeah, to come to. So,
I think we've got someone here on the line that wants to say something. Do we have the caller?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Well, hello from Butch Vaughn to Butch Campbell here. How are you?
There you go. How you doing, friends?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, Butch, if our teachers knew that you and I would be in the positions we are in, you on the city and me on the county, that they'd probably turn over in the grave. I know they would have if they knew I was in this position, but Butch and I are graduating the same class, and we grew up together, and so we're homegrown. You know, they couldn't run us off. But
Even though we tried.
I tried, yeah. But well, Butch is, he's been a phenomenal educator and does a great job of that city.
I just want to say thank you. Number one, thank you for what all you've done for Rutherford County and all the kids that you had influence on, and also to Brian as well. He does a heck of a job. Good old Walter Hill boy, and we've done something good somewhere along the line.
Right.
Well, I appreciate the call, Mr. Campbell.
I thought you was going to volunteer to come up and vote on the books for us.
Well, we voted on one book. And you know that fella, my goodness, don't get me started on him, because it would last for a long, long time.
Hey.
Well, I know you all have a lot of fun. Butch, I appreciate it. Our time, unfortunately, has kind of gotten away from us, but it's been a good day. Appreciate you, Mr. Vaughn.
Hey, Mr. Campbell, I hope you and Janie are doing well. Janie had knee surgery, and Butch just had shoulder replacement surgery even before that. So,
oh, wow, yeah.
They got a house full of help. So, so I hope y'all doing well. But, Brian, thank you for doing what you're doing.
I appreciate that. Butch Vaughn joining us today here on the show.